Hallelujah. Tonight I want to talk about being born again and just how exciting it is, because I feel like it's really good to go over the basics sometimes. And actually, I'm going to go a little deeper on some things, but just kind of piggyback off of what Jackie was talking about, you know. Talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and again, a lot of the stories that you probably heard, but when I was a kid, I grew up at old-time Pentecostal church, right? And there wasn't a lot of teaching about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I saw the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and I was excited about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Andrew and I had, again, just gotten married, and we were going to a spirit-filled church there in Oskaloosa. I remember the night Adrian had got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She beat me to the punch. But that night, we were at our pastor's Bible study, and at that night, you know, I was like, I'm going to get it tonight. I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit tonight. And we had her teachings and stuff like that. But I remember sitting in the chair, and it, pastor was like, well, I'm going to lay hands on people, we're going to pray. And he didn't even get to me, I just like, blah, just came out, right? And, you know, if we think about the things of God and get excited about them, that's going to change your perspective on everything, yeah. Right? Instead of looking at everything with God through the eyes of, it's scary, I'm not sure, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And much of the church acts like it's evil. You know, oh, you believe in that Holy Spirit stuff? Yeah, I do. He's part of the Godhead. I welcome the Holy Spirit in my life. If I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got God and Jesus, because all three in one. All three of them say the same thing together. And so, you know, Jesus did what the Father did. Everything he says, the Father's telling me what to do, the Father's telling me what to do. Then we see in the book of John that Jesus said, the Paraclete, which means one like me, is coming. Right? So the Holy Spirit says what Jesus says, which says what God says. So guess what? They're all saying the same thing. And so, you know, I can just tell when I was on the road with Faith Library Publication, people were like, well, that Holy Ghost stuff. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit is a person, right? It's like me saying, oh, that Adrian stuff. Excuse me, Adrian's a person, right? Or that Gary stuff. No. Gary's a person. Everyone, again, the Holy Spirit is a person. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, things happen. Right? And that's where, you know, when Jesus showed up, things happened. What were the healings? Mm-hmm. People began set free from demon possession. Mm-hmm. Eventually, salvation. Yeah. Through dying on the cross. Mm-hmm. So those are the manifest. When the devil shows up, we see what? John 10:10. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that what? You may have life and more abundantly. Jesus is delineating, this is the devil's role and this is my role. The devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Because when the devil shows up, that's what happens. But when God shows up, we have life and have it more abundantly, right? So there's a delineation there. So again, you know, when all I know was this, I just couldn't wait to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd seen it as a kid, didn't have teaching, didn't understand it. But again, it is a blessing. And we look at these things as just like, it's a blessing. And I'm here to tell you tonight, your salvation, if you're born again, it is a blessing. And you need to get excited about your salvation. Let's turn to 1 John 2:16. And there's wrong doctrine out there that many people believe that, you know what, everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you what, right now tonight, we're going to debunk that. Okay? And there's also the teaching that once saved, always saved. I'm going to tell you that Calvinistic viewpoint is evil and it's wrong. And I'm going to tell you scripture tonight why that's wrong. But you know what? It is an absolute pleasure. You know, I get a little nervous around people. They're like scared of, oh, am I going to make it to heaven? Can I make it to heaven? I mean, it should be a joy to serve God. It should be a joy to serve God. All I know is this. I don't want anything to do with my former life without Jesus, okay? It is horrible, depressing, and terrible, right? I just remember being paranoid half the time, you know, because you get around people. I mean, some of the worldly people, I could be on the road and everything, and it's like, they get weird, they get on drugs, they get drunk, or they do things, and then they get paranoid, and then they, you know, then they steal your money, and they do these things, and it's like, you can't trust people. I mean, you just can't trust the devil. And you got the devil in people, it's like, no thanks. That's why it's so important to have the body of Christ, and that way we can have, it's nice to know that there's people that believe the same thing you do, right? We're a family, we're here together to help, you know, take care of one another and build one another up. And the world system is all about take, use, and throw you away. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, here we go, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. I want to start here tonight because these are areas that we see Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, right? He was tempted to these three things. The devil, this is the devil's pattern. And so we see the world because, again, the enemy, the reason I read this scripture is because the enemy wants you distracted, right? The devil wants you to see, the enemy wants you to be focused on the lust of the flesh. Let's just say this. We all like comfort, right? Especially in the when it gets cold out, we like comfort food, right? Why is it? Because you eat it and you feel like a nap, right? I love comfort food. And guess what? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being comfort, but I'm just saying, especially in the United States, you know, well, there's people, you've been outside and some of you are going to go on a missions trip here soon. You get outside of the United States and your comfort leaves, right? Believe it or not, there's not a Starbucks in some of these places. I know. I rebuke that in the Jesus' name, right?
No electricity.
There's no, yeah. It's on just part of the time, right? There's no air conditioning. There's no cable TV. People are like, oh, no cable TV. I don't go places without cable TV. What is it? It's the devil wants people to get comfortable. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, right? I'm so absorbed in myself, I don't care what's going on around me, right? In the world, and many people who claim to be Christians are focused on the natural, right? We have to deal with the natural. We're not saying you're not supposed to, but when your complete focus is on the natural, right? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, you can go read it for yourself. It's in Luke chapter 4, all right? We don't have time to go there tonight, but what was it? What was the devil focused on? You're hungry. Right? I won't talk about food, I promise. I'm not going to go there, all right? But what's the devil like to do? He wants to get you in the flesh, so you're focused on the flesh, right? With the things he talked about. What are the things he talked about? Well, first of all, the food. Oh, you want to turn these stones into bread, right? Then he tempting him with, getting on the pinnacle and then jumping off and, you know, saving himself. So we saw the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, right? Oh, if you just kneel down to me here, Jesus, I'll give you all the kingdom and everything. Well, partially true. And remember, the devil's never going to tell you the truth. So you can just bet it's good. He's going to add some truth with a lie, and it still ends up to be a lie, right? So he had authority, but guess what? He was never going to give it to Jesus. It was never going to happen because he's a liar. And Jesus said that. He says, you're a liar and you were a liar from the beginning. And so we see that the world, that's our whole focus. John 3:3 says, Jesus, John 3:3, he is talking to Nicodemus here. And they're talking about being born again. John 3:3. And ever seen The Chosen? Right, that's really cool. I like. I haven't seen all of. I mean, we've seen, got like first what couple seasons or something like that. But he's a very interesting character in the Bible, and it's really interesting because why? He's a religious leader, but he's interested in Jesus, mm-hmm. Right? He's hungry for the things of God, and he's looking outside of the space of okay, what is? I'm really hungry for some things. I'm really hungry for the things of God, and this Jesus is coming along, and there's something different about him. And then Jesus gets this conversation, and Jesus replies, John 3:3, I tell you the truth, unless what you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm telling you all right now, if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Well, everybody's going to make it to heaven. Wrong. That's not what Jesus says. Guess what? I don't base my opinion on what I feel or the wind or what my friends say or what other people say. I have to base what I believe in God based on the Bible, right? Because what happens is this. When we start making up, well, my God would do this and my God would do this, what we're doing is we're creating our own God that doesn't exist, right? Well, you know what? I just can't believe God would send people to hell like that. Well, no, you know what? People send themselves to hell because they disobey. And we're going to look at some scriptures here in a minute, right? Well, you know, God would do this and my God wouldn't. See, that's key. Your God, right? Your God. And because what happens is you're becoming your own God because your opinion is above God. Yeah. So again, you can't have your own opinion and worship God because, again, if you're going to be born again, you're going to have the nature of God. That means you're going to agree with him. What did Jesus say? I only do and say what my Father does, right? He was committed to the Father to do and to say what the Father said. If Jesus would have said, well, I don't believe this and I believe this and I have this opinion and I have this opinion, that's called division. When you have two different opinions, right? So again, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I love Jesus so much, I don't care if I'm persecuted or not. Because he's worth every minute of it, right? He is worth it. He is worth it. He is worth the persecution. He is worth people not liking you. Believe me, we've got people here that would love to have a party if we left tomorrow. They do not like us. You know what? It doesn't matter. That does not phase my belief in God. It does not change my belief system in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It does not change my opinion that God is good all the time. He is not killing people. He's not destroying people. He's not putting sickness and disease on people. There is no sickness. There is no disease in heaven. It does not exist there. Well, if God puts sickness and disease on people, where is God coming up with sickness and disease? Just doesn't have it, right? Now, what happens is sometimes he takes his hands off of things and the devil comes in with his, you know, bag of tricks. But God is not putting things on people. Jesus never came along. Name one time in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus came along and put sickness on somebody to teach them a lesson. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father, right? So everything Jesus did, it was because of the Father. And people will dig up some stuff in the Old Testament and they'll say, see, God was like this and God's mean and God's like this. I'm like, no, we as New Testament believers, we look at God through the lens of Jesus all the time. When you get off, you are going to get off bad if you start looking at God through, you know, well, you know, he killed these Philistines and he sent these angels and he destroyed them. Blah, 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 and you get off on these ditches. Jesus specifically says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I view God through the lens of Jesus. And you're going to stay on track. I'm telling you right now. Because this whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is all about the roadmap of God sending Jesus to rescue us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it was prophetic about God sending Jesus to rescue us. And Jesus is the example. And we don't ignore the Trinity, God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're very vital. They're part of this. But guess what? They all three say the same thing. They all say the same thing. So again, when we look at we view God, we need to view God through the eyes of Jesus because he is the example. Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus is rebuking the church. And he's saying here in verse 15, I know your works. They're neither cold nor hot. I would either have you cold or hot, right? I don't go to Starbucks. I don't go to Starbucks really at all, but I don't go somewhere and order, hey, I'll take a lukewarm coffee, please, right? You know, it's either hot or cold. There's no in between. And then he says, because if you're lukewarm and you're not hot or cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Can I just say this for your consideration too? I find in my life I've thought about this scripture too. And again, you don't have to agree with me. I'm just saying my thoughts. You know what? When I was cold and I was completely backslid, God can convict me of things. You ever notice that? And when I'm hot and I'm burning hot for Him, guess what? He can direct my enthusiasm and He can use me. But you know what? When I'm if I'm religious and lukewarm, He can't do anything with me. You ever think about that? Think about how many people think they're pretty cool right now, think they're pretty good right now, and they're like really lukewarm and backslid. God can convict people, but that's tough. I mean, have you ever tried talking to religious folks and try to share some of these things with them? Guess what? They know everything. I mean, they know everything. And I'm not saying I know everything. Okay? I'm learning a lot. We're still learning things, right? Nobody's ever arrived, okay? Jesus is the only one, but I'm just saying, none of us have ever arrived, but you know, you ever notice that the people who kind of think they know everything, but they don't know anything, right? Like we were talking about YouTube certified earlier, right? You know, there we go. We got our YouTube, I got my YouTube certification here, and I know how to, you know, I'm a jack of all trades or a Jill of all trades, right? I don't know, right? So again, it's amazing, you know, and I would just say this, we're hot. We want to be hot because, you know, we don't want to come to God and just say, well, when things are tough or there's a bad situation, well, pray or help me. It's like, we need to be with Him all the time. We just need to be connected. We just need to be in fellowship with Him. And being born again is not fire insurance from going to hell. It means our nature changes, and now we want to connect with God on another level. We want to be personal with Him. We want to have a relationship with Him, right? Again, I've said this before in the church, we look at it all wrong. When I was, you know, younger in the church, when you got saved, it was like, oh, you made it in. You made it across the finish line. It was kind of like that was it. Instead of that's the beginning of the journey. And I think too many people, they either backslid, well, I got saved and that's great. That is great. But guess what? That's the starting line. And again, sometimes denominational churches look at that as the finish line. That's the starting line. That's where your new life begins. It's not where we celebrate because the old is done. No, the new begins. All right, I'm boring you. John 3:16. John 3:16. It says here, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Being born again is not a works mentality. Now we got to be careful here. But it's something we're receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. And guess what? When we do receive Him, what's it say here? That we're not going to perish, but we're going to have everlasting life. What's this mean? It means Christ paid the price for us. We're going to look at what happens when you don't accept Christ and you have to pay for your own sins. It's not going to be pretty. That's why being born again is so important. Because now we're transformed. What we're doing is we're saying the price Christ paid, He paid for sin, and now we're receiving that. He took that payment and we received that redemption that He provided for us. Romans 10:9-13, this is, again, being born again, all right? It is, if you openly declare, this is New Living Translation, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you might be saved? No, He promised you will be saved. So we know that there's a two parts for salvation, okay, for initial receiving. Number one, it is declaring Jesus is Lord. We see in 1 John that demons do not declare Jesus is Lord, and they do not declare that He died and shed blood, because that's admitting defeat. Mm-hmm. What do they call Him? They called Him. They called Him the Son of God. They called Him other things, but they would not call Him Lord. And guess what? The Revelation says, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. It's going to happen. They don't want to do it now. They're going to kneel. And everything, every name under the sun, every person that believes or doesn't believe, you will kneel someday to Jesus. It will happen. You think you're cute now. Some of these people, they think they're cute and they're denying there's no God, there's no everything else. You're going to have a terrifying day coming at some point. And it's not because God is so mean and terrible, but it's because you've unleashed wrath upon yourself that you never received salvation for. Goes on and it says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Love the scripture. And as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. Jesus said, I am going to rescue you. The Apostle Paul here is telling those at Rome. He says, I'm going to save you if you'll call on me. I will redeem you and I will save you. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. How are we a new creature? Romans 10:9-13. John 3:16. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you become born again, you are a brand new person. You still look the same in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Right? And maybe you still got same addictions. Maybe you got some things, some baggage is still hanging on you. But guess what? The devil's always going to lie to you and say, well, see, you're not born again because you're still dealing with smoking and you're still dealing with this and you're still dealing with that. Is the scripture true or is it not, right? If I believe in my heart, right, there might be some things people are dealing with, alcohol or smoking or what have you, but he's going to give you the power to overcome that. But that has no bearing on whether you're saved or not because your inside has changed. Now, if you continue to choose down that route and you say, I don't care what God thinks. Now, that's a different story. We're going to get into that here in a minute. But 1 John 4:16, and we're going to look at some things that we can see how we've passed from death and life. And also, too, we're going to talk about scripture if we do walk away from God. 1 John 4:16 says, and we know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and what? God in him. So we can see just right now, God is love, right? And his nature, when we accept Christ, is in us. It doesn't mean sometimes we don't get in the flesh and get owie with people, right? And we need to repent on some things, right? Have a house full of kids and then see how quick you get in the flesh sometimes, right? Work around some heathens, right? And then let's see how. First John 5:2 says, but this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God, here we go, and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. What it means is this: we love serving God. We love it. You know, I don't think, well, you know, back in the day maybe for a while, but like, I don't think it's a sacrifice not to drink alcohol, right? It's like, oh, I'm really missing out on drinking alcohol, you know? I'm really missing out on spending all my money and, you know, having headaches the next day, throwing up on people, being smelly and obnoxious, right? No, I don't miss those days at all. I don't miss it at all, right? Like, believe me, you're not missing out on anything in that life. I'm just telling you right now. It's just all heartache, and the Bible talks about it. I love just serving God, and just, I love being his friend. I do. It is just so, wake up, just fellowship with Him and talk with Him and just read His Word and just be around Him, right? Why? Because there's peace. You know, when you get away from God and you get into that, you don't have peace. What happens? Anxiety, all these things happen. When we serve God and we obey His commandments, then guess what? You know, sometimes when we're making that transition from the world, some people into, salvation, it's just like it's a whole new learning curve. And then you find out it's kind of like just eating chocolate all the time and it seems good. But when you start eating vegetables and eating healthy, then you're like, you feel better and you're like, this does make sense. You know? Wow. I was eating ho-hos and ding-dongs all the time and, you know, and stuff's getting weird in my body, and then I start eating right, and then, you know, it takes sometimes, it just takes a little bit to get yourself over, but then you look back and you're thinking, man, why was I eating? I remember being on the road, Adrian just always got on me, but I remember playing in places, and I'd go, and I'd have like a Mountain Dew, okay, and if you eat this like this, and I'd have like Reese's. I don't know what it was, I'd eat Mountain Dew and Reese's, and we didn't have time to eat or nothing, and I'd be like chugging Mountain Dew and eating Reese's, and I'm like, you know, so... Yeah, so it was just a really weird diet, you know, and then later you start growing up and you're like, I can't be doing that no more. So, but now I can't even believe I even ate like that. But anyway, John 1:23 says, and this is the commandment that we should believe on what? The name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, and He gave us command. 1 John 3:14, and we know that we've what passed from death into life because what? We love the brethren. Amen. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Your nature changes. The world system of love is like this. If you like me, or if we agree on everything, then that's love, right? Yeah. Right? Because nowadays, if you don't agree with my lifestyle, then you're a hater, right? But it's okay for you to disagree with me, but I can't disagree with you because you're not a hater for disagreeing with me, but I'm a hater for disagreeing with you. It's like, how does that work out, right? Yeah, it's okay. But see, that's immaturity, right? Like little kids do that kind of stuff, right? They like, they're always in the right, and they do the same thing, but you're the wrong one. And it sounds like somebody else I know called the devil. Revelation 20, verse 10. Got a few more. Well, we got a lot more scriptures, but we're going to kind of dig in a little deeper right now. Revelation 20, verse 10 through 15. And it says, and the devil... Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo-hoo! You can always remind the devil when he comes knocking on your door and telling you stupid stuff. Say, you know what? I remember there in Revelation chapter 20, you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that for the next hour. How's that sound? Right? And then he disappears magically, just mysteriously. He just like disappears. But then he goes on and it says, where the beast and the false prophet are, they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know what's so hilarious is this. The devil is so much better than God, but he copies everything God does, right? He's got his own little trinity. He's got his own little thing. It just I marvel at the devil hates God, but he copies him in everything. You ever notice that? Like he's going to have his antichrist. He's going to have his prophet. He's going to have his... I mean, it's like he's got his own little... Again, we just... Oh, you got pea brain for whatever. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face from the earth and the heaven they fled away and they found no place from them. Now, guess what? When God shows up, I'm running towards him. All right? He's my papa. He's my father. Jesus, I'm running towards him. You know, after this dispensation and the Holy Ghost is in heaven and then they're all three there. I mean, I want to be around him. Guess what? Not everybody wants to be around him. Because they're full of sin, right? Their nature isn't the same as ours. that's born again. In verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which was what? The book of life. You want your name there. We're going to read it here in a second. You want to be there. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their what? Works. And the sea, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their what? Works. Guess what? You and I, if we're born again, are not judged by our works. And then verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Here we go. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. When you are born again, you are in the book of life. Why were these people cast in the lake of fire later, the second death? It was because, first of all, they hadn't accepted Christ. So guess what? We have accepted Christ's payment for our sins as born-again believers, and our nature has changed. And guess what? They are now choosing to take upon themselves to pay for their own sins by themselves. And they're not born again. So guess what happens? You are not going to heaven. Like Jesus just said, John 3:3, unless you're born again, you cannot what? See the kingdom of heaven. It's, you know, oh, well, everybody's going to go to heaven. I'm sorry, how many times do we need to say this? Does Jesus need to say this? We need to read this in the Bible, that if you're not born again, you're not going to go to heaven, right? All of John chapter 3 talks about it. 1 John talks about it. Revelation talks about it. Galatians chapter 5 talks about it. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and on about, if you're not born again, you will not go to heaven. That's it. And then it says, so again, we need to have our names written down in the book of life. Sinners are judged for their works, and they're going to have to pay for their own sins, right? Because somebody's going to pay for sin. It's either going to be you're going to accept Jesus' payment, he died on the cross, or you're going to do it yourself. And I don't want to do it myself, right? I screw too many things up, right? I'm that guy. I'm just like, nah, this ain't happening here. So, right. I want to read John chapter 3, but let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Now, these scriptures here are going to come against the people who say, once saved, always saved, okay? Are you with me? That means they say, once you say that prayer, it's all over. You don't have, you're born again. You can just continue to do, and you'll be in heaven, and don't worry about it. Well, I got to tell you something. That's not right, okay? And I don't have time to go through all the scriptures tonight. We're going to go a few tonight, and then we'll pick up next week. Revelation 3, 5 says, he who overcomes will be clothed with white garments. Now, wait a minute here. It doesn't say just simply being born again, right? It says overcomes. What does that mean? That means we're going to see some obstacles, right? And I will, here we go, erase. Everybody say erase. Erase. If I'm erasing something, that means there was something there, right? You know, I worked in, some of us here are in finance and everything. You know, one thing we can't have is whiteout. I'm just telling you right now, all the financial folks in here, you deal with legal finances or anything, guess what? You will not have a bottle of whiteout. It doesn't exist, right? Because what they're saying is, if there's whiteout around, then there's shady stuff following, right? I mean, there's no whiteout. But guess what? Jesus has got whiteout, and he's not afraid to use it. Let's read on. He goes, let's say here, and I will what? Not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before angels. So that tells me one thing. Number one, he who overcomes will be clothed with white garments. What does that mean, overcome? That means you live righteous and you overcome the world. You live according to, right? Your white garments. The Bible talks about in Revelation, there's two. There's a gown of salvation and there's a robe of righteousness. There's a big difference there, right? You want the robe of righteousness. The gown of salvation is kind of like you made it, okay? The robe of righteousness means you live righteous. We want to live righteous. But Jesus says here, he says, I will not erase your name. So that means you could have your name erased. Right? If you don't overcome. And there's a lot of other scriptures here we're going to read too that can back this up. Revelations 21, 27, we'll close with this, maybe. I'm going to try. Now, I'm reading this scripture, okay? And I'm going to show you the cross-reference in your Bible to Revelations 21, 27, and you tell me, all right? It's up for debate here, but I'm leaning one way, and that's called the Bible way. Revelations 21, 27 says, and there shall no wise enter into anything that defiles, neither whosoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the books, Lamb's Book of Life. So he comes back and he says, if you're walking in abomination and you're lying, right, then guess what? Only the ones that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's look at, we're not going to read it tonight, but let's look at the cross-reference for that scripture. I want to show you is Galatians chapter 5. One good thing that I had at Rhema was one of the assistant deans. He's like, he always said, if the line's over there for, you know, what I can get away with and still saved, he goes, I want to be as far away from that line as possible. And that's me too. I don't want to be, Galatians chapter 5, this is cross-reference to that scripture, that chapter we just read in reference to what I just read is this. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest to these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations and wrath, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such there. And then I want to skip down here, and it says, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, remember, people, I don't, in their right minds, think these things, but I'm telling you what, that this letter was written again to Christians in Galatia. This was not written to the people down at Slippery's Bar. Okay? This was written to people who were claimed to love Jesus and claimed to be born again, right? He's warning them. He says, you do these things, this is what's going to happen. Guess what we just read in Revelation? That Jesus said, I will not erase your name. I'm not going to erase your name if you overcome, right? Well, Pastor, you're trying to scare us. No. Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. That's kind of fun, isn't it? Yeah, this feels good to scare people, right? No, but what it does mean is this, that we need to be, if we're bored with, and that's the thing too, if we get bored with our salvation or take it for granted, then we can become lukewarm. And we just read there in Revelation that if we're not hot or cold, then we're lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'm going to spit you out, right? Or he could blot out our name from the book of, Lamb's Book of Life. And we know what happens when you don't have the Lamb's, when you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Very terrible place. But guess what? God is full of mercy. And 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus doesn't leave you, you leave Jesus. And if people are scared that Jesus is going to leave me and I don't know what's going to happen, he doesn't leave you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always here. When you're born again and you love him, he is always for you. The problem is people walk away from him, right? You can't tell me that you have a choice to get into this thing, and you mean to tell me you can't have a choice to get out of it? Right? You sure do. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You don't think some ministers during the 80s got off track? Hello? Right? I'm just saying this. Why in the world, if salvation is just something that we rattle off and say a prayer, why in the world did God, the Holy Spirit, put Galatians chapter 5 in here? Why isn't it just we just say unto Jesus, Lord, forgive us. We just quote, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then we just live like pigs and do what we want to because it doesn't matter anyway. Why? Do you know that the Ten Commandments was never, God never expected man to fulfill those, ever. Because if he could fulfill them, then we'd need Jesus, right? But what was the Ten Commandments? It was to help preserve us. Oh, by the way, murdering somebody, that's a bad thing, right? Stealing, that's another bad thing, right? Why? Because our flesh and our nature, we destroy one another. We destroy ourselves and one another. But the law had to come in and he had to start with the law. Okay, guys, here's 10 commandments here. We're going to need to kind of work on this. And then it gradually became up until Jesus completely redeemed us. John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you have what? Life and more abundantly. Because salvation is Jesus said we're like the salt of the earth, right? It's a preservation. It gives us flavor, but it also preserves us as well. And so we live righteous for him, then, man. I close with the story, but when I was growing up, Brian and I were growing up, we lived like three doors down from this guy that was completely crazy. I mean, he was completely off the wall. His family had problems and everything. Anyway, long story short, I mean, just lived three houses down when we were kids. He ended up, and this tells you your heart. That's why it's so important for us to guard our hearts, because things can get so out of control in your life. If you don't accept Christ, if you're not born again, and you don't, again, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we present our bodies, living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable, and we cleanse our minds. Anyway, and I saw him up here in Des Moines. Adrian and I had just, it was like we just hadn't even got hardly, we didn't really get the church started yet. We moved, we just bought a house and everything, and this guy came in. Always really turmoil. Came in and, bragging about all these other things. And anyway, long story short, he ended up doing some terrible things to his wife. She didn't make it, and he did some horrible, horrible, horrible things. And anyway, but the most disgusting thing was they had it was on the news and everything. He had like a big, Des Moines SWAT team was there and everything, and they arrested him, and it was a big standoff. And as he was walking out, you can see the video, it's probably still online. As he's walking out, he's like this, like John Travolta walking into a disco club or something. Like, he's just so cool and no remorse. And then at his trial, he's blaming his ex-wife for what he did and everything else too. And I thought, when your heart is so out of control that you do such abominable things and you have no remorse for it, there is no God in you. There's nothing, right? I may get kind of upset with somebody that, they cut me off or, whatever. You may, silly things, but down inside your heart, you want people to be born again. And you want people to have good things. And your nature on the inside is, you know, because I see, and, you know, we too many people politicize things and this or that, or, you know, like when some tragedy happens and then it's now it's, you know, now we got to get on this big bandwagon because it helps our political move or something else. And I'm always thinking to myself, what about the people though? We've lost sight of people that, you know, everybody's, talking about, you know, oh, well, this dictator or this, you know, Ukraine and Russia and everything. And it's like, I love what Trump said. He said, I'm tired of people dying. And I thought, yes! Why do we have to have a side? Why can't we just say, people need to stop dying? Like, why isn't any person said the most obvious humane thing to say, stop war?
Right.
Like, we don't want to fight anymore. Like, I'm so tired of people dying and being killed. But we gotta pick a side. We gotta be political. And it's like, thank you for saying, we just want to see people stop dying. You know, but again, it's like, where's your heart at that you just want to see people stop dying? You want good things for people. You want, you know, all these other things to happen. And I believe that's the love of God on the inside of us. When we grieve, you know, the Bible talks about we grieve over these evil things. It's that love of God in you that just like, I may not agree with you, but I don't want bad things to happen to you. I want you to be born again, right? I want us to be in heaven together. So again, just be so, you know, so it may sound more of like a cliche, but just have joy in your salvation. Because this is such a tremendous gift that we have, that Jesus gave us, that we don't have to die and go to hell, but we can look at it and say, God has put something in us, a nature, and we can have joy. Even though the world comes against us, we can still have that joy. Amen? And we can still, like, I get so excited even praying in tongues because I saw it so many years and it seemed so out of my reach because I just didn't have any teaching. I pray in tongues every day. It's just like the most wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit is just, he's just the best gift ever. And so salvation is also that. It's just the most amazing gift ever. And it's not just because, again, we're going to, oh, I don't have to go to hell. But it's a gift that we have that we can commune with the living God that actually deeply loves us. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about in Ephesians 3rd chapter that we would have the revelation of the breadth, length, and depth, and the height of the love of God that shed abroad. That love, he just is like, I'm just praying that you have a revelation of God's love. And when we begin to see that, we have no, we only, like the Apostle Paul, you know, it's like a dark mirror. We only see in part, know in part. We can't really, you know, we're not on the other side yet. But we can still sense it through reading the Word and spending time with the Holy Spirit. There's just that love. There's just that love of God. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think of that a lot.
Yep. Amen.
They were strangers, but they were going to meet them.
Yep.
Right.
And that's the Bible talks, the blessed assurance is so good because, again, we think of, and the world thinks of death as the end, but Ephesians says that the family, that God doesn't see two families. He says we're all one family. We're just in different locations. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so there's no, like, I've got family on the other side. We all do, you know. I believe we all have, you know, family on the other side. We've never even met. You know, the Ephesians, it says the family on heaven and earth. So we're all one family. It's just we're either here or there, right? And then, you know, I just love how the Bible talks about, you know, talking about believers. You're either present in the body or you're either in the body or present with the Lord. There's just either one place, right? So that's just so encouraging to know that, you know, we're born again. We can be with him and, yeah, just have fellowship. I mean, that's the coolest thing ever is just to hang out with Jesus all day, right? It's like, what was it like walking on water? What was it like doing this? I want to ask those things, you know? I just want to talk to people, you know? What was it like killing Goliath? That would have been so cool, you know? Just be able to talk to people in the Bible, you know, Jonah. What were you thinking down there for 3 days? That was crazy. We'll have those opportunities. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for these people, Lord. I thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for just your gift and your love, your sacrifice for us. We receive it. We value you. We thank you. We thank you. I pray that you're doing, continue just amazing things in families in this church and the individuals in this church, Lord. God, that you're they're having revelation. They're having help, Holy Ghost. You're helping people. You know, you're giving vision and insight and understanding and revelation on who you are, Lord God, to be able to help them every day, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for them and that they're blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Well, have a great week.